Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Father, I truly do thank you for this day. As I look out upon your people, Father God, I see hungry hearts. They just didn't come into the house. They came into the house hungry, wanting to be fed fresh manna from heaven. So, Father God, I just thank you right now that you're here among us. And that you are surely going to feed us fresh manna from heaven this morning. And Father God, the works that you started during praise and worship, I'm asking you to finish before this day is over. Change your lives, Father. Meet every need. Change and rearrange anything that needs changed and rearranged. And bring us to the forefront, Father God, of your kingdom. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Life moves on. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Life moves on. It doesn't stand still for you or for anybody else. It just keeps moving on. And so if things aren't going right in your life, just keep moving. Because you sitting down and you feeling sorry for yourself is not going to make anything change. You have to just keep moving and showing God that you desire to be changed and to be all that he's called you forth to be. And then let him work that works within you. This morning, God's titled this investigation. And Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is a way to death. And then Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. In Proverbs 5:21-22, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. Now, no one is above investigation, especially those who are charged with the goods and welfare of others. In other words, that's us, the body of Christ. If God has charged us with souls, then he can investigate us. Anybody can investigate us anytime he wants to. The primary thought you should consider as we discuss this topic is the importance of integrity and of honesty. And how many times has God talked to us about integrity and honesty? Over and over and again, but it didn't sink in. Because I don't see integrity and honesty as an upper priority in God's people's lives. Proverbs 18:17 says, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. Proverbs 18:17, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. God investigates us in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. And now this is what God said, and this is why we're having this teaching. Today we are going to talk about investigation. They are investigating your president, the man I placed in office. Just as the enemy is investigating the man I placed into office, the enemy is going to come after you. So before he comes after you, we must do some investigating of ourselves so that the enemy has nothing to draw on. You must at all costs keep your cool about yourself and allow the enemy to try to take you to a place of condemnation. Now you see what he says here. You must at all costs keep your cool about yourself and allow the enemy to try to take you to a place of condemnation. Prove to him that you have nothing in you that he can draw from to destroy you. The condemnation is the action of condemning someone to a punishment or sentencing. And God said, allow the enemy to take you to that place of condemnation, to show him that there's nothing in you that he can draw from to destroy you. You shouldn't be fearful of the enemy investigating you. You should be to a place of honesty and integrity where it doesn't matter who comes to investigate your life, you will be standing free of all charges. God says, you do not need approval of men to go forth and do the mighty works I have called you forth to do. If I call you to do mighty works, then you are equipped by me to go forth and complete the mighty works. A lot of people go out on their own, but God said, if I call you to do mighty works, then you are equipped by me to go forth and complete the mighty works. There is much pleasure in investigation, for in investigation all things are brought out of the darkness into my powerful light to be judged. There is much pleasure in investigation. Everybody tries to hide. For in investigation all things are brought out of the darkness into my powerful light to be judged. God said, it is a good thing to be under my investigation, for when I investigate you, I do not judge you. I show you where you are coming up short, and I give you space to repent. God said, I go into every nook and cranny, and I pull every skeleton out of your closet, and I show you how to deal with it to make sure it does not come back in to harass at a later time. Let's read that again. I go into every nook and cranny, and I pull every skeleton out of your closet, and I show you how to deal with it to make sure it does not come back in to harass at a later time. God said, I want you so squeaky clean that the enemy can find no common ground in you. Now, common ground is shared interests, beliefs, or opinions between two people or groups of people. So God said, I want you so squeaky clean that the enemy can find no common ground in you. And I'm quite sure there's people in here where the enemy has found common ground in you. And God said, why are you investigating me now, you're asking? The reason is very simple. This is a time that the enemy is trying to disqualify my chosen ones, and I do not want you to be disqualified. This is his last-ditch effort to tear down my kingdom ones before the great harvest of souls. Let's read that again. Why are you investigating me now, you're asking? The reason is very simple. This is a time that the enemy is trying to disqualify my chosen ones, and I do not want you to be disqualified. This is his last-ditch effort to tear down my kingdom ones before the great harvest of souls. We must always understand that God's truths are the standard to which we commit ourselves for his approval. This is how investigation goes. God investigates us. We must humbly accept investigation. We must investigate ourselves and all things we involve ourselves with. At times we will be called to investigate others. All such investigation must be done with honesty and integrity. We will be examined by the standard we apply to others. We must investigate ourselves. As we investigate our own actions and behavior, God's word is a standard in determining whether we have / are doing right or wrong. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. In other words, you should be proud of your children. You should raise them up in the ways of the Lord, and you should be proud of them. As we investigate ourselves, we must do it humbly. We will be examined by the standard we apply to others. You know, and I've told you that you should go back and look at yourself and find out where you're at and what you've been doing in life. You don't want any closets in your life. You want all open doors so that the enemy has nothing to draw from. Brother Mark's on the street. Somebody can walk up to him and say, oh, I know you. I know what you're doing. I saw you in a bar last night drunk. See? So he doesn't do that. But, you know, he has to investigate himself. Otherwise, keep himself in check at all times. Because the enemy knows where you've been and what you've been doing too. And he's going to send somebody to follow you around and harass you, like Paul. Remember when the thorn in the flesh, the person was following him around and saying things about him. That's exactly what the enemy is going to do with you. Now, Luke 6, verse 37 says, it's talking about judging others. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. When you're investigating others, you're supposed to do that in a righteous way and not in a condemning way. If you see your brother and sister in sin, it's not for you to blab it all over the countryside. Your job is to go to them privately and talk to them about what they're doing and encourage them to change. All right? Now, this does not mean we overlook sin, but that we deal with sin righteously. Can we expect God's mercy when we judge harshly? Can we expect God's forgiveness when we are unwilling to forgive? Remember, the scripture says, forget not from whence you came. There's so many people sitting in the house of God who were great sinners, and they got cleaned up, but whenever they talk to another sinner, they judge them harshly. They forget that they themselves were once a sinner, but now they're saved by grace. So the same grace that God gave you to clean you up, then you have to give that same grace out to somebody else. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'm totally shocked when I talk to a Christian. They say, I cannot forgive them. Then God's not going to forgive you. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. You have to forgive them. And you can't do it with a pious attitude either. You have to do that with the love of Christ dwelling richly within you. We must investigate ourselves using God's word to see if we are in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. Paul didn't fail the test, but he's asking, are you going to fail the test? He said, examine yourselves. Why? To see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? This is where integrity and honesty show their importance. Can we be honest with ourselves? There's so many people walking around with fooling themselves. They think that nobody else knows what's going on in their life. And just because somebody hasn't come and confronted you doesn't mean that you're getting away with your sin. It just means that God has shown you grace, trying to get you cleaned up before he sends somebody your way. And you get really messed up. In other words, you might lose your walk with God. All right, can we be honest with ourselves? Do we have sufficient self-awareness to note our own imperfections and biases? Do we have sufficient self-awareness to note our own imperfections and biases? Do we have the integrity to take the blame rather than blaming another for our own failures? Let's just stop there. There's a lot of people in the body of Christ who will not admit they have imperfections. And they don't ever check themselves. They don't ever take their feelings to God and ask God, you have to help me because I cannot meet your standard right now. Are you understanding this? If you're not honest with yourself, then the enemy's going to come and take you out. I said to God last night, I said, God, I just don't know if I can raise two young children who are rebellious. This is really hard on me. And I don't know if I can continue in the love walk with all this that I have to go through with them. I was honest with God. And I cried out to God, and then he came and he set me free. You know, he talked to me about it. And he said he doesn't put anything more on me than I can bear and that I can get through this. It's just a testing time of my love and my patience. But see, if I wouldn't have taken that to God, I was really condemning myself all over the place. Saying, what kind of person are you that you allow two young children to place you in this place that you're in right now? All right? All right, let's look at the example of Adam in the garden. You know, do we have the integrity to take the blame rather than blaming another for our own failures? All right, let's look at Adam in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord, you know, this is Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. I'm sorry, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? And Adam said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I command you not to eat? Adam said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to Eve, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So we hear, first of all, Adam first blamed God. He said, the woman you gave me. If you wouldn't have given me this woman, I wouldn't have messed up, is what he was saying, all right? Then he blamed his wife. And Eve blamed the serpent. Neither took the blame for their own actions. Well, I did what I did because my husband does what he does. That doesn't cut it with God. You're trying to put that blame on another person. I tell my family all the time, you do not have to do what others do. When you stand before God, you're not going to be able to say, well, I did this because they did that. That's not going to cut it. And I'm surprised how many people think that. Well, I have a rebellious daughter, and you know, God, how she drives me to distraction. No, God doesn't know that. He expects you to be the true man of God or woman of God, and he expects you to be the head of the household, and he expects you to walk righteous, upright in all your ways, and train this child how to walk upright in all their ways. All right, the context of Galatians 6 is bear one another's burdens. In other words, help each other. But what about personal responsibility and accountability? In Galatians 6, chapter 4, it says that let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. So if I sin, I bear the responsibility. I can't blame it on the fact that my husband sinned or my children were rebellious. I have to bear my own load when I stand before God of why I did or acted the way I did. I'm sorry, this doesn't cut it when you say, well, somebody else didn't do what they should be doing. You're supposed to be studying the word, right? And you're supposed to be doing the things that God's telling you to do no matter what your spouse is doing. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. When warranted, we should accept investigation to establish the truth and to obey the truth. I've never seen anybody being investigated as hard as the president is right now. And bless his heart, he gets himself in a pickle sometimes. I always say, God, where's your duct tape? You know, I know he's God's man, and I know God, you know, but sometimes, you know, he's like everybody else. He can only stand to so much pressure, then he blows, you know. But, yeah. They say when somebody prophesy when he serves the next 4 years that he'll be a really boring, he does love the Lord and everything, but he'll be really, really engrossed in God. And I said last night, God, is this why he's being investigated like he is? Is this going to make him humble and really get all the junk out of the way so he can truly be your son the way you want him to be? All right, Matthew 18. So what about y'all? Y'all laughing about him. What are you going through, and how hard is God investigating you? What's going on in your life? Pressure after pressure, right? Test after test. God's investigating you. He's letting you see what you're really made of. You want to walk around and say, I'm a love sponge. I'll give you 2 kids. Let them be rebellious and see how much love is in your sponge, right? This is the way God works. Come on. Where am I at? Matthew 18:15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Alone, not with a microphone broadcasting on the radio. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take 1 or 2 others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of 2 or 3 witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Then you get mouthy, see? And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. As I was reading that scripture, I thought, boy, in those days, Gentiles must have been pretty bad. Amen. We know that tax collectors were. 1 Timothy 5:19 says, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of 2 or 3 witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. It doesn't matter what the other elders are doing. You don't have to join in with the other elders. You keep yourself pure. Doesn't matter if some of the other pastors go to the bars. You keep yourself pure. On the flip side, not receiving investigation, but doing the investigating. It is true that sometimes we must rebuke a brother or sister in Christ. The need for integrity is so great in this. False accusations will not be tolerated by God. Now, if you go around telling falsehoods on a brother or sister to get them in trouble. Hypocrisy has no place among Christians. In Matthew 7, chapter 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. When husbands start talking about their wife, you need to close your ears, because right then and there, they have a log 10,000 times bigger than the speck in the wife's eye, or vice versa, or with a brother and sister. You just need to quit looking for faults in people. And I notice that people do that when they themselves are in sin. They do that to take the attention off of themselves, so that you won't be looking at them, and they're trying to get you involved in the other person, and they can get away with their sin, but that does not work with God. We must always remember that we will be examined by the standard we apply to others. In Luke 6:37, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Then God said, my judgments are pure and righteous. I never judge according to the outward appearance. I always judge the heart, and believe me, I know each heart and its works. See that? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. See, some of you are trying to be God. What does it say here? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man, why? To give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. You're trying to be God, and you're trying to search the heart and test the minds and everything else of people, when all you need to do is just keep your eyes upon God and your ears open to God, and he will tell you exactly what to do. We need to put some things, we need to just turn over to God and let God do the works that only he can do. And when he does the works, it is a completed works. God said, the investigation of my true people has come. This is a deep investigation of the hearts. The deep investigation will remove every speck of darkness that has been deep-rooted in the heart. I have begun a works of investigation that will not cease until all wickedness has been purged and the heart is pure. See this? God is investigating you right now. And you're wondering what's going on in your life. God is down in your heart, getting those things that you think nobody sees but you. And he's bringing them to the forefront so he can get rid of them. Let's read what he said again. The investigation of my true people has come. This is a deep investigation of the hearts. This deep investigation will remove every speck of darkness that has been deep-rooted in the heart. I have begun a works of investigation that will not cease until all wickedness has been purged and the heart is pure. So whatever you're going through, you're going to go through it until God gets you totally and completely purged and your heart's going to be pure. You know, resign yourself to that fact right now, and it's up to you how long you stay in this investigation that God has you in. You can either let it be a quick work or you can drag it out. Or you can lose your salvation, not hearing God say in the process of the whole thing, by not allowing God to bring everything out of the darkness into the light. God said, this is the works of my undying love that I have for each of my children. This works is what is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. God said, the investigation has begun. Will you allow me to go deep and investigate the very depths of your heart? Or are you going to back off and die in the wilderness? I believe that's why I have two young kids, because God's really going deep into my heart. And how much love and patience do you really have in there? And when you feel like you're lacking love and patience, are you going to bring it to me? Or are you going to sweep it under the carpet and make excuses why you can't love the way you're supposed to love? Are you understanding this? And I'm hearing God say, you can't fool me. You can't fool God. And you're not even fooling yourself. Then God said, deep is calling to deep, and like a surgeon, I'm going deep into my vessels this day to purge out all disease that will infect the rest of the body. Deep is calling to deep, and like a surgeon, I'm going deep into my vessels this day to purge out all the disease that will infect the rest of the body. These teachings that God's been giving you, they're different and they're deep. Whenever he said, I said, well, what are you going to teach on his investigation? I said, really now? What does that mean? And then he started talking. You know, he started talking, then, but I put the scriptures first. We serve such a loving God that he is going to every length to make sure that we make heaven our home, and that we become pure vessels of honor that he can work through to go out there to this lost and dying world and bring in this harvest. Some of you are sitting in here this morning, you know your heart is not right. You know your heart is not pure. You know there's dark spots in your heart. God knows all about those spots. And he wants that darkness this morning. Now, God is saying, are you willing to allow me to purge out every dark, evil spot that's in the heart? Are you willing to allow me to go deeper into the heart than I've ever gone before, to relieve you of all the pain and anxiety that those dark spots bring? I want you to think about this morning. It does not matter what anybody has done to you in your lifetime. Whenever you think you're being abused, get in the Word and read what they did to Jesus. Read what they did to the disciples. And then, you come after you've done that, then come complaining, and God will smack you really good. Because you have no right to complain, because you aren't going through near what Jesus did or the disciples in the New Testament. You haven't suffered yet like they have. What you're going through really is meaningless. And what you're going through is just to build character and integrity in you. But what is it really doing? Is it really doing that? Or are you just getting, you feel like you have an overload and you're just shutting down and still going about your wicked, evil ways? Think of that at any given second. You can say, God, forgive me, and it'll happen. No, it's not going to happen that way, because God's given you chance after chance, and you've already proven to him that you cannot be trusted with your words. That you just say what you feel like you need to say to get out of the given mess that you're in. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say. So it's up to you this morning. God says, deep is calling to deep, and like a surgeon, I'm going deep into my vessels this day to purge out all disease that will infect the rest of the body. And you know, as I was typing as he was saying, I was thinking about cancer. When you get cancer, they have to go in there and go extra deep to make sure they get all the roots out. And sometimes it hurts afterwards because of how sore and everything a person is. And this is just, you know, this is like a cancer in your heart, these dark spots. It's still, and there's like a cancer in your heart. And that's why God has to go deep and cut those things out. The altar is open if you really want to let God go ahead and to investigate and purge you and to take all that evil out of you. The altar is open for that. But if you come up here, please don't come up here just because everybody else is. If you come up here, I want it to be because you truly, truly, truly want to walk in righteousness. And you truly want God to go down into deep into your spirit, man, and pull out all that junk that's not of him. Don't make a farce of this. Let God be God in your life this morning.